Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to NS9 Live. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we have Tyler. We got Jim. It is Wednesday night, the night before opening day, fellas. How's it going?
I'll tell you what. I'm excited.
Our
off season is over. We have baseball tomorrow. And then we get to go through tonight just making some predictions. I get to show everybody how much smarter I am than the two of you. Gonna be great.
That's getting clipped. Tyler has a meme. Jim and I have a meme very similar to that. Tyler has one now too.
Jim's so full of crap. He's such a bad baseball mind, man. Like DiNardo, me and you, we get it.
Unless hey, who's won the last two years?
Nobody knows because we stopped paying attention.
No, we do. We go back and we recap these at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, I forget those.
Each of the last 2 years.
Yeah, I forget.
So those. I'm ready for a three-peat. Not one, not two.
Three-peat.
DiNardo, is that true?
I'm sorry. I was going to go into some Lil Wayne. What's that?
Is that true that he's like had the most correct predictions in the last couple of years?
Probably not. I'm not going to fact check.
Like none of us know because we don't actually follow up.
Right. I'm excited for the show, though. Like, I'm excited for tomorrow. I'm excited for the show because it's going to be fun. This is a good time. We just get to kind of shoot the shit, talk about baseball, give our predictions, prove how Jim's wrong. Do you remember how Jim last year said that Swaggart is going to have over 3.5 defensive runs saved? Yeah, this great baseball mind. I know I was also asked it, and I took the under.
Nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes.
Notice Jim's the all-time three-peat, the best, smartest person in the world. When he's wrong, it's just a mistake.
Hey, you know what? Baseball is a game of failure. It's just a matter of, hey, you know what? If you can just get more hits, get more runs than the other team, that's what matters. All I got to do is beat you two. I don't have to be perfect.
Buddy, if it's a game of failures, no one's more prepared than I.
I've been watching the Pirates for a long time. I know failure.
Yeah. So at any rate, guys, I don't know. Do we want to get into the show? Do we want to talk about some of these predictions and get into our over and unders?
Yeah, let's dive in. Let's set our agenda. Like, how do we, you know, how is this show going to go? And then let's just dive right into it.
Well, I think what we're going to do, obviously, we're going to talk a little about the NL Central. Give our Pirates wins. So this is our official. Well, I got to say something too. And I was reminded about this tonight. We totally forgot to do that NS9 like wins predictions. Like totally forgot about. And I'm going to say we've had a lot going on behind the scenes. We've been doing a lot of stuff right now. Totally forgot about it. So I apologize for everyone who enjoys partaking in that. There's no wins prediction. So I guess just drop them in the comments. Tell us what you think. We'll have some fun with it at least, but we're going to give our official predictions tonight, as always.
I think as long as we get our predictions in, and then, you know, we could still throw something out on Twitter tomorrow. Why not?
Okay. We'll throw something out there. It just won't be as official because whatever, but we'll have some fun.
You know what? We can do I'm making an executive decision. Let's do one tomorrow. Winner gets a Permanis gift card.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
How did I know he was going there with it? Because I thought about it too. But I didn't want to make the executive decision.
Executive decision made.
All right. So we'll have a last minute NS9 wins prediction. Once again, I guess all have to be submitted by first pitch, right?
First pitch. Yep.
And then the winner gets a Permanis gift card by the end of the year. So we'll make sure we save one.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
Cool. That's good enough. That works.
If we don't save one, then we've got to go and get a gift card.
Jim has to. The three-peat has to go out there and pay for it. Ain't come out of my pocket, not come out of Tyler's pocket. Your pocket.
We'll have a gift card. We'll have a gift card for somebody. All right. Let's get this thing going.
Yes. So, fellas. NL Central. First off, I kind of want to get Tyler's overview of the NL Central, and then where do you think the Pirates are going to stack up, and what's your wins prediction?
Ooh.
So at the beginning? I figured we'd end with this.
I thought we're ending with the over and unders.
Let's end with wins. That's like the climax. You got to end with the climax.
Yeah, you do.
That's how it works.
Is that how it works?
You don't want to start with it. I'll tell you that much.
All right. Then I guess give us the overview of the NL Central, and I guess where do you see the rest of the NL stacking up?
Ooh.
Don't think of wins, but maybe just rankings.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Well, hold on here. If we give the rest of the teams and then we wait till the end of the show to do the Pirates, aren't we just giving away the
so what are we ending? Doing here, Jim?
Let's just go right to our over under predictions. Let's just all right. go right to the
we're doing over and unders.
Yeah, Pitt City, what? Pirates started the season last year with a climax, and look how that happened. Look what happened there.
It's got a very point true. There.
Okay, fine. Let's get to our over and unders. James.
Do we want to get to something else before we get to the over and unders, though? From the
instructions,
no, I don't think so.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Brody. This is why I'm the president.
Oh, dear Lord. I'm going to bed.
All right. Who wants to start?
Let's do this. Jim starts because you're on that side tonight.
Okay.
And we'll just go round robin.
So here's what we got. We got each of us picked five things, right? And the other two need to guess an over or under with that prediction. So I'm going to start off with a guy who, again, I was the only one right about last year, Ryan Barucki. You two hated him. I was like, let's give him a chance. So last year, Ryan Barucki had the lowest whip of all pitchers in Major League Baseball with 40 or more innings pitched. The lowest in baseball. So my question for you, Ryan Barucki's 2024 whip, over or under 1.195?
Who's going first? I guess Tyler. Tyler would go first.
Over.
Obviously, I'm not a big believer in Ryan Barucki. He proved me wrong last year. He had an okay spring, I think. I do think the stuff looked better than maybe the numbers suggested out of him, but that I just can't believe in a guy that throws the way he does. I don't get how he gets people out. So I got to go over on him.
So he was at 0.74 last year. I just want to get that out there.
No, okay. He was...
1.195.
Like after I started trashing him to death, he just stopped giving up hits altogether. I don't think that continues.
Okay. So you got over.
DeNardo. This is tough. And you know why? Because I feel like he could still have a good whip per se, but still like an inflated ERA and to Tyler's point, not be like as good of a pitcher. Because like he just essentially doesn't walk guys. That's what's going to help his whip. Like he's not going to walk guys. He induces enough soft contact. Like that 1.2, that's a really good number, Jim. I hate you. You did this last year. You made some really good numbers because it's tough to go either way. Like I want to say over, but that's what I'm alluding to. Like he could still have like a 1.15 whip, I feel, and still have like a 4.7 ERA. Man, like it's hard to say he can replicate last year, but I don't know if he's going to fall completely off a cliff. I'm trying to talk myself. You're right. I mean, because I didn't like him, but you know what, you said, Jim, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I finished liking him. I Since Tyler went over, I'm going to go under. But also, again, like, it's so close. Like 1.15 to 1.9. I don't think he's going to go anywhere, like, anywhere near one.
All right.
So,
you got one over, one under.
Looking even at his spring numbers, like, strikeouts to walks were unreal, but he gave up runs. And it's spring training. We get it. But he's a guy that can easily, and he's a reliever, but he's also a guy without impressive stuff. So he could easily, like, be a guy with a higher ERA and that higher whip that the other numbers look good.
All right. Also, so you got this written down, DiNardo?
Yep. I'm writing it down.
All right. Okay.
I just don't like him, guys. Let me live.
First category, and we got a split decision. I like it.
So am I up next?
That means I picked a good number.
Yeah. Is it me?
It is you now.
Are we going to go in that order? Okay. So I'm going to go with a guy who was just announced to be in the starting rotation. And I would like to know how many starts you think he will make as a Pittsburgh Pirate this year. I'm going Bailey Falter, 15 and a half starts. And I picked that number for a reason, because you figure April and May, that entire stretch there, you're looking at about 11 to 12 starts. Does he hang around there longer than 2 months?
Can I say this with authority? Under. Under. I'm going under. Under, 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 under. I'll put it this way. If it's over, I quit. I don't have the sanity to do post-game shows with 15 and a half Bailey Falters this year. So it has to be under.
Chat thinks so too. So this is a good number though. Last year, Bailey Falter made 14 starts. Year before, he made 16. So like it's right around his average, you know. I am going to go under. Yeah, I'm going to go under. And I think it has more to do with one. Well, it's a two-part answer. One, there's going to be some reinforcements coming up mid-season that knock him clearly out of the running for making starts. And two, he sucks. So I think they'll try to get him out of the rotation as soon as possible.
So here's the caveat of it. How many starts does he get as an opener?
So that's interesting, because I could see him used in that role if they get creative. And I still think under, but I'm not sure. I can't answer that because I need to find out what their intention is on his first start. As Luis Ortiz as the bulk guy, what does that mean? Does that mean start one or two innings from Falter and then like the rest? Or is it like more of a four inning start? You know, like I need to see what that first outing is, and then I'll have a better determination. But I would probably say a majority is opener esque than like a five inning start. That's my belief.
My belief is that he's not on the team come May 1st. So like, matter. I'm serious. Like, I think he's going to be bad, and he's going to be the one of the first people knocked off of this roster when Domingo Germán, Eric Lauer, those kind of guys are ready to go.
I think this has the potential to make us all look silly, because I would like to believe under as well, but this team just loves this guy.
Yeah, if we look silly, Ben Cherington looks silly.
True.
I mean, unless, of course, Bailey Falter looks good, that's a difference. But none of us believe in Bailey Falter's talents, and we just feel like if he has over 15 and a half starts, this ain't a good year.
Yeah, or it's a great year because he figured it out.
Doubt it.
Hey, that's fair, too. You never know. So, all right, so we got two unders there. DiNardo, what you got for us?
I'm going right for it. Just get this out the way. Jim, Tyler,
I know what this is going to be.
Yes, you do. I even tweeted out there. I mean, I wasn't lying. Jack Sawinski over and under a 2.99 F4. Come on, Jim. Put your money where your mouth is.
Well, I got to milk my answer a little bit, right? I can't just come right out and say it. Okay, so last season, Jack Sawinski, 2.7 F war, 112 weighted runs created plus. He had pretty bad defensive value too, negative 4.1 defensive value on Fangraphs. I think he's going to play a little bit more right field this year than center field. And he grades out quite a bit better in right field from a defensive run save standpoint. So I don't think the defensive value will be as poor this year as it was last year. And I think he's going to take more steps forward at the plate, see hopefully a little bit more consistency out of him. Jack Sawinski's F4 at the end of the year will have a 3 as its first number. So
you weren't lying when you said, can I
over?
This is a tough
prime Juan Soto. No, maybe not quite prime Juan Soto, but yeah, over 2.9.
Yeah, this is a really tough one. I think I need to go over here. Because we're talking about a guy, and I'm not a big Jack Sawinski guy. We know that. But we're talking about a guy that only had like a one. What was the weighted runs created plus last year? 112. Like, that's not good. That's not that great. And he's moving to a more advantageous position defensively. This is where I go into the trap of I don't really believe in war. Because I don't think he's a 3-war player, but I think numbers-wise, he'll find a way to do that, and I'm going to complain about it the whole way, so I'm going to say over.
So two overs. Jack Sawinski, a 3-war player. Very confident by the North Shore 9.
I'm not confident.
At least two-thirds of them.
I don't like it, but those are the bets you love.
All right. I don't hate this either. I'll say that. I don't hate the idea of Jack Sawinski being over a 3-war player. He's going to be frustrating. We know why. But, like, you look at the totality of the numbers, and to Jim's point, him going to right field, I can see that path. Now, being better than Brian Reynolds, shut up, Jim.
Also why I think war is stupid.
Your turn.
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
All right, I'm trying to think which one here I want to go with next. I've got kind of a fun one. Let's go with this one. We're going to know the winner of this one pretty early. So here we go. Andrew McCutchen hits his 300th home run before or after April 4th and a half. So, does he hit it on April 4th or earlier, or does he hit it after April 4th?
Peyton, what do you think?
What if it goes into, like, the 22nd inning?
If it happens on April 4th's game. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm going to say that it takes him longer. So it will be after the April 4th game. Just because it seems like in these situations, it either happens the day of, like opening day will happen, or it will take a while. I don't think it happens on opening day, so I'm going to go beyond that.
Everything kind of lines up that it could happen for him. But I'm going to say no. I'm going to say over two. Just because, I guess. I mean, it's Marlins Park, just a terrible, terrible place. Just awful. There's going to be literally 17 people there. I mean, tickets are $4. $4 to go to a baseball game on opening day. $4. So I'm going to go over.
But then you're forgetting there's also Nationals, who he
crushes throughout his career.
He does.
Does he?
Yeah.
I'll still go over. I'll still go over.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he does.
He's also notoriously a slow starter. True. So I'm going to go over because I just feel as if it's too early.
But he wasn't a slow starter last year.
Yeah, but last year was weird and dumb and stupid because they climaxed early.
Yeah. No one likes finishing early.
No. So I'm going to go over too.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to move on to one that I don't particularly love this number on, but I couldn't really figure out where to place it. So this could look really dumb on my part. This is the one I really don't like. I'm going with Jim's boy, Henry Davis, over under 10.5 starts in right field.
Oh.
Starts. Not That's games played. Starts.
You want to take this one first, Denardo?
Well, I guess it would be mine if you're going in order. Damn it, Tyler. Like, I want to smash the under.
This is one that I just don't know.
But I just want to think about it before I do. Right. I want to be rational because, like, is there a possibility he's playing right field? Because he's not going to catch every single day, probably. So what's he also going to do? Because you want that bat. And I just feel like that's Kutch maybe playing right field sometimes too. Like, he's going to have to just DH. He's, I think, going to be the majority of the starting. Although it's tough to say, like, hey, rookie catcher, like, catch 120 innings this year or 20 games this year.
Grandal's coming
so
back.
So is right field in the cards? I mean, he hasn't played it at all. I'm going to go under still. I'm going under.
I think he gets less than 3 starts in right field. He is a catcher, and he will catch under. I'm going to go way, way, way under. He got 0 innings, 0 playing time in right field. All we heard all spring training long was he's a catcher. I don't think he was taking fly balls. Like, he was working with pitchers. He was a catcher all spring training. He's going to catch. That's my prediction.
All right. So 2 unders. The Tyler's over and under numbers have not been good because we've just smashed it like easily. Not much thinking.
Two unders so far. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that one was tough because I don't know exactly where the line is with him because I know we said Jim said he hasn't played at all in right field in spring training, but he didn't play right field before either.
And that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair too.
And they have guys that are quote unquote defensive catchers. And we know they love them.
Yeah. And to be fair, Grandal really wasn't there in spring. So like if and when he's part of the team, then what happens? We don't know. So again, that's why I wanted to think it through, but like I still don't. I'm very comfortable with my under.
I mean, we're talking about all I have to do hitting over there is 11 starts in right field.
I don't know. 62 games. I don't know if there's going to be one. I'm smashing that under. Like, I am smashing it.
You're going broke,
even,
Tyler.
You're taking the under, even if it's 3, like you said.
Yeah. Like, if you would have said 3.5, I would have said under.
I think that's crazy. This team started Josh Van Meter at first base.
This team's not okay. The same team that started Josh Van Meter.
Yeah, that's also true.
It's ran the same way.
Like, there's also Connor Joe. There's also Kutch. There's also Sawinski. There's also Olivares.
Yeah, there are a lot of options.
Other options. I am just curious of how they do utilize him outside of catching.
And that's all. I think that's the big part is wondering how, if he does hit like he has on during spring, how do they keep him in the lineup? Is right field that option?
I think the option, if you're going that route, is Kutch plays right, Davis DHs.
I think they would be more comfortable with Davis out there. I think it's wrong, but that's what I think they would do.
Okay. Well, I'm wrong.
Hey, we're going to find out in about 6 months.
We'll find out.
Wrong. All right, Jim, you're up.
I'm not up.
You are up.
Oh, I'm up. Okay, so I'm going right for the throat again. So I did Jim this first time. Now this is Tyler's turn. So over and under, and I'm going to preface this. This, when you look at his weighted runs created plus over the last two seasons, this is what he evens out to. So will he be better or worse than his last two seasons? Michael A. Taylor, weighted runs created plus, 91.5.
What's the question again?
Michael A. Taylor, weighted runs created plus, under. 91.5.
Under. Sorry.
Yeah, we knew Tyler's answer here.
Right.
Do you want to expand upon that, or are you just gonna go with
truth?
That?
I mean, his entire career, he hasn't been a good hitter. Last year, he ran in some power. I don't think he sustains that. The strikeouts are way too extreme for me. I just don't see it out of him unless it's a very, very small sample size and he gets hurt.
.91.5 is the number?
Yes.
He has gone over that number two times in his career. So I'm just going to play the odds here. He's probably going to go under that. So I'm going to say under. Even last year, when you could say like, oh, he performed last year. He had a good offensive season. It was still just 96. So if you think that he loses a little bit power wise, under 91.5 is very, very doable there. I'm gonna go under. And that just from a, I mean, how many seasons has he played? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
11.
11 seasons, he's done it twice. So yeah, we're gonna go under.
Cool deal.
Yeah, I can't believe in the bat yet.
No, that's fair. Now, what I did want to point out though too is like the last 2 years, he has improved tremendously offensively opposed to like the years before. And like the strikeouts are really only like the thing about Tyler, like the strikeouts are really only like bad last year. Look at the year before when he also was decently productive with the Royals. Like it was under 24%. So last year he sold off for power, struck out more. So we'll be curious like what happens this year. So again, I took the average of the last 2 years, run with it. But I thought that was like a good number.
I can't buy into that bat yet. I don't know if I ever will. I don't think the bat plays.
I don't think you can expect the weighted runs created plus over 90 with Michael A. Taylor.
Sounds good.
All right. Am I up?
Now your turn.
You know what? Before we do this, just do a quick tidbit from one of our sponsors here. So if you're on Twitter, you may or may not know, but CMR Cards 22. Great guy, run by father-son combo. I've known them for years. They sell baseball cards on Twitter. So make sure you follow him if you're into that sort of thing. Tons of Pittsburgh Pirates cards, tons of really good deals. He runs sales multiple times throughout the week. So make sure you follow him again, at CMR Cards 22. Big time Pirates fan, bunch of Pirate cards. So if you're collecting baseball cards, must follow. And guarantee you're going to get some good deals on stuff. Make sure that you tell him that that NS9 sent you.
Get all your Michael A. Taylor cards now before
all your Michael A. Taylors. Yeah,
on the 91.5 weighted runs created plus.
But real quick,
I
looked them up after Jim brought them up, and it really is a cool account to follow. So, just a couple 2 cents here. Follow along with them. It is cool to look into some of them cars and what they can do. It's just growing up as a car collector. It's fun, man. Like I get why Jim loves it. It brings me back to the old days.
That's a great hobby.
Great. Really is this not the ultimate validation? Tyler went out of his way to say he liked something.
I do. Like,
So it's, I mean, again, the old days, all the people says like, Tyler hates everything. He just said he likes them.
I know. And even Jim just bringing up the son and father, like just thinking back to me and my dad looking at baseball cards. It's cool, man.
Yeah. And I've known them for years. So just great guys. Good people. They're going to do you right. Check them out at CMR Cards 22. And they got a cool new logo. It's got like Andrew McCutchen flying through the sky. It's pretty sweet.
Flying through the sky.
All right. Let's get back to this. All right. You know what? Let's do a fun one. Let's do a fun one here. Actually, you know what? We're going to save the fun one because I don't want one of these other ones to get taken. All right. So in the last 10 years, this one's for Ethan, by the way. Ethan, if you're out there, shout out to you on this one. In the last 10 years, the lowest amount of service time that someone has needed to qualify for Super 2 status is 2 years and 115 days. That puts that date at June 7th this year. June 7th for someone to accumulate 2 years and 115 days in 3 seasons from now. So my question to you, does Paul Skeens get promoted before or after June 7th and a half?
Well, I just deleted my over and under.
June 7th and a half, before or after?
I guess I'll go first here. I have to go over there. I just can't. The Pirates in general give it time when it comes to Super 2. And this will be a Super 2 type of deal here. I could see more of a June 10th. And it's also going to depend on what lines up for him. Because if it does line up that Super 2 for him is like June 8th, or June 7th or June 6th, and they have their own projections, that could depend. But I still see the over there because I feel like this team will give it an extra week if they need to.
So you're going over?
I'm going over.
And my bad, so I'm writing this out. It was June, what date again?
June 7th and a half.
Okay. Here's my answer. Bailey Falter is such a good pitcher that they're not going to need Paul Skeens. No, but for real. Okay, so here's the thing. We've actually kind of seen them do this. We've talked about the reasoning to do it, right? And the ability to do it. I think Paul Skeens could easily fit in this mold as well. Because again, we talk about the reinforcements. They did it to Rowanzi. I think Paul Skeens could come up early. All-star break comes. They need to monitor in innings and they can send him back down to regain some of that service time they lost, right? To also, like, they're not going to need him. So that's a smart way of getting him here quickly because Bailey Falter stinks. and then also, like, not eating up service time when they might not need him as much. So I'm going to go with the creative under. I think the Pirates are going to show us this year in some ways. I don't know which ways yet, but to be a little more creative than they have been in the past. And hey, John Parada said they're going to be here before June. So, John, my money's on you. If you're wrong, I'm coming at you. Because this is entirely on what you said today. No, I'm joking. But I feel like the Pirates could do it. I think they could do both things here as well. I think they could bring it up a little bit early, get themselves 2 more weeks around All-Star break, and bring it back up. And they accomplish both things. They do save his arm, per se. They get their service time back. And he's maximized his time in the majors this year. So I'm going under.
Yeah, I think that's the
dumbest pick. If you're listening, why?
Like, that might be the dumbest pick of the night. There's no way he's up before that date. No way.
Oh, okay.
He is literally only down because he has no experience, and he has no experience starting every fifth day. They're not calling him up early.
Cool. So he can't be up May 25th?
No.
Why?
Because they're going to get him used to every fifth day.
Yeah. And by May 25th,
under control.
Be used to it.
Not in the Pirates world.
Maybe the new Pirates. It's a new generation, buddy.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Let's go, Bucks.
Just because they start Jared Jones up here that they like just don't have another choice of because they ignored the offseason.
Listen.
Doesn't mean that Paul Skeens is coming up on May 25th.
When Jack Sawinski is taking his vacation all-star break, or he's getting his tickets, he's going on the cruise because he's not going to the all-star game because he's under a three-war player, they're going to book Jared Jones and Paul Skeens tickets to Pirate City to kind of hang out for a little bit and say, just chill here for a couple weeks till you come back up.
No, there's because like literally no
chance. We got JT. We got Michael.
You call me John 12 months ago.
Right. So that'll be.
He's got another like months. 2 to 4 months or two to. Yeah.
Oh, 2 to 4 months. July.
Yeah. July. That's not May.
Correct. That's why they're going to send Paul back down and have them come in to get their service time manipulated some more to be fine. That's how they can get him up here before June 7th and a half.
No upside in that.
Yeah, there is to get Bailey Falter out of that rotation.
They got Domingo Germán for that.
Yeah, they're going to need to get him out too. He's going to get himself out of that room.
Very true. Very true.
I'm sticking to it. And now I'm even more motivated that it happens. I'm coming at you.
Yeah, I think that's the dumbest pick of the night.
All right.
That was a fun one.
Yeah, I think it was stupid.
For what it's worth, I'm going to take the under. I'm gonna say before June 7th and a half, but that's an unofficial pick. It doesn't count.
Why?
But
you know what?
But that might change my mind because now I feel dirty that Jim thinks it. Now I kind of want to go over.
He will not be up before Super 2. Zero shot. All right. Zero shot.
Cool, but he'll still have the time because they're going to manipulate it in July.
No, they'll just
manipulate next
beforehand. Okay, whatever. All right. I'm going to move on to our starting second baseman here. And that is Jerry Triolo. And I had to do him a little bit of math for this one. So what I did was I took a look at the defensive run saves by Jerry Triolo last year. He had 4 in 300 and something innings. So I tried to look at that and just see some other numbers at second baseman. So my question for you guys here is, Jerry Triolo's defensive run saved at second base. Remember, at second base. We're not including third base here. 12.5.
Under. What my reasoning? Because last time I got you just trashed me, so I just want to know if you want it this time.
We want your reasoning, yeah.
Ever, but
so I say under because I feel eventually at some point he's not like the everyday second baseman, if that makes sense. Like he's the everyday second baseman now, right? And I'm not going to say he's like demoted, but he's not going to have as much time at second base as a full time job, if that makes sense. He's splitting it more with like somebody else, hopefully Piguero, right? So that's why I say like he's gonna have time at third base, he's gonna have time at maybe some other positions too. So that's why I say under. He's gonna play it fine and very well, but maybe 10.
So last year, two second basemen in the entire major leagues had more than 12 and a half defensive run save. That was Marcus Semien, who played 162 games, and Andres Jimenez, who played 150 games. Ha-Sung Kim played 106 games, had 10 defensive runs saved. Bryce Turing, 119 games, had 12. I kind of have a feeling the trio is going to be right around that 100 mark. Which puts them real, I think it puts them like real close to that number. But I'm going to play it safe here and say under, because I know he's not going to play more than 100 games at second. At least I'm fairly confident there. But I think he could play 80 at second, right? Which kind of hurts him a little bit more there. So I'm going to say under, but this is a good number because I think if he plays 100 games, it's like right on the dot there.
Yeah, so I was thinking like 1,000 innings there.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm anticipating. Yeah, 1,000 innings, he's probably going to be right around that number.
And the issue with this number in general is just that it doesn't just depend on Jared Triolo. It depends on other people's health as well. So like if Cabrian Hayes goes down at some point, that obviously takes away his innings at second base. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was between like 11.5, 10.5, and didn't quite know where to go with it. But if he gets every day second base starts, I do think that over's in hand.
Oh, yeah.
There's just other circumstances that make it difficult.
Fully agree. That's why, again, like I thought that was a pretty good number also, because skill-wise, he can definitely get that, mm-hmm. I feel. It's just going to be other factors that allow him to get to that point.
Yeah, like, is he absolutely capable of putting...
No, go ahead.
Oh, so he's capable of going over that number, but I'm just going to play it. I'm going to say he doesn't get the playing time to do it.
Kind of wish I would have went like 10.5 there.
That would have made it a more difficult decision.
I know, but it's so hard to figure out. Like, there's so many other circumstances going on around it that
I think we're 6-for-6 on unders on Tyler.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is yeah, we've.
I think my next one might go
the unders.
I know Denard is going over on my next one.
Uh oh. Wait, Chad Cole's not on the team anymore.
You'll see.
Okay, my turn.
Your turn.
So I attacked both of you specifically on players that I wanted to. Jim took my over and under on Skeens. So I guess I'm going to go no one has this, so I'm going to save it for the end. That's more fun too. I'm going to go with this one. No one's brought up Cruz yet. I'm not going to be the obvious. I feel like none of us probably said this one because it's just too obvious, but I'm going to go with the K rate. And I'm going to go just straight Zips projection. Zips put him at a 28.2% K rate. So I ask you, over and under 28.15.
So last year prior to his injury, he was right at 20. His first, season in the majors, 34.9. This spring, 31.4. And I think you kind of saw that go up towards the end of the spring here. So you're saying 28.15?
28.15.
Who are we talking about?
O'Neill Cruz.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit more bullish on Cruz than the Zips projections. 28, no, that's...
Fanboy.
That's a pretty good number.
Thanks, Dan, since you personally created this.
I'm going to say O'Neill Cruz is over a 28.15 K rate, but it's like, it's barely like, I think he's barely over.
I get that.
I'm gonna go over.
Yeah, I get that. I think I'm going under with it. I am going under with it. I think we're more in that 25% range. And that'd, I mean, awesome. even if he is over that 28%, like, it's not the end of the world. Like, you can be a really good hitter. Aaron Judge struck out 30% of the time, just murdered baseballs. But I'm going under because just what we've seen really since his rookie year has been a guy that hasn't struck out that abnormally large amount. And it's been a very, 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 very small sample size. But I think we have seen the approach be a lot better. And we've seen more balls in play from him. So I'm going under with it.
I like it.
Chat is
if super, I were to choose,
super split.
This is such a good number. It's hard because it's still so much unknown. We've seen the difference in the approach. He seems like he's going to be leading off still. I would probably put my money on under as well, but like it's right there.
Yeah. So, I think either way, I still believe he's a good hitter either way.
Yeah.
I think he puts together a good year.
To your point, he could have a 29-30% strikeout rate and be a good player. But if Absolutely. He has a 25, he could be a really good player.
And that's what I'm banking on.
Yeah. Cool. All right, Jim, you're up.
I'm going to go back to our boy, Henry Davis.
Shocking.
Over, under 11.5 hit by pitches.
Ooh.
Over, under 11.5 hit by pitches. Last year in the majors, he had 4, but he did have 8 in the minors. This spring, though, 0 hit by pitches this spring. So 11.5.
So I'm going to go under with it. One, I think it's because major league pitchers are just better than minor league pitchers. Basically, going back to what Jim has said forever about get them up here as soon as possible because we're tired of watching them get hit by guys that stink. But the other part is that I think pitchers are going to start approaching him a different way once he does start hitting, which I believe he will. I think we'll start to see a lot more of that slider going away that maybe we don't see the inside fastball so much. Maybe they attack him away more. So I don't know if we see as many inside fastballs as we previously did, but also pitches get away from guys. So this one's just a complete random number. You never know what's going to happen with arms, but I'm going to go under.
This is tough. This is really tough. And as the catcher, how many times do you tell our pitcher to hit their guy? How many retaliation hits is he going to get? I kind of agree with Tyler, though, too. He's pulling the ball a lot. We already know like the issues he's had at the plate. So is he going to are the pitchers going to try to attack him low and away? Probably, right? But getting hit by a pitch isn't like a skill, but like it just look at Marte. Like Marte made a career with the Pirates. Like his on base was being hit by the pitch because he didn't walk. Like he didn't draw walks. He just got hit. Jay Hay had those issues. And I feel like Henry Davis is one of those. Like that's just part of his game. He's gonna get hit. I don't know. 11.5. I'm going over. I'm gonna go the over then. Tyler took the under. I'm gonna go over.
Fair enough.
Now confirm this because I'm pretty sure all 4 of mine been split. You both said after April 7th on Kutch.
Yeah.
But
yeah. That's the only one though. Everything else isn't split.
That's also because we're good entertainers that like to create controversy.
There you go.
Well, yeah. And also I'm right.
And also I'm creating just awesome lines here.
Jim's the bookie.
Even when I'm not picking, I'm still winning.
Hey, can you give me Otani's number, by the way? Silence. All right, Tyler, you're up.
All right. I'm going to go with Mr. Clutch himself here. I'm going with Joshua Palacios here. I don't think we thought we'd get a Joshua Palacios one in here.
No.
Here's my number here, fellas. 0.5 walk-offs by him this year. Does Josh Palacios hit a walk-off of any type this year?
So what you're saying is, does Joshua Palacios get at least one at-bat this year?
Oh, that's easy.
Well, yeah, because if he gets an at-bat, it's a walk-off. I'm going to go... It's so dumb. Like, this is where, like, rationality just going out the window. I got to play it up for the entertainment value. But also, like, it's just one. He had, what, 10 last year? He needs just one. He's going to get up here at some point. Like, injuries happen. He's going to get here at some point. So, I gotta take the over. And Pittsburgh's going to fall in love with him. And it's going to be, why are you sending him back down? Get him up here. He's a major league player. And he's look at his, you know, he's going to be 1-for-10 with that one walk-off. Just a horrible, and like 8 strikeouts. But he had that walk-off, and everyone's going to crazy that this is a stupid organization. Why are you sending him back down?
And he's going to do a sweet dance on the way to home.
Oh, I can't wait.
So can I ask, I'm going to ask a clarifying question here. Mm-hmm. This is walk-offs in the majors, correct?
Yes.
And is this walk-offs for the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Correct.
Ooh.
I'm going to go under. I don't know how much playing time Joshua Palacios is going to get this year. I am actually thinking he is a very strong candidate to be DFA'd in the next 24 hours. Like, I think the possibility's there. I'm gonna go under. I he's an exciting player. I like watching him, you know, do what he's done late in games. I just think the smart play here is to take the under, because one, he hasn't really been a good hitter throughout his career. It's just like luck at this point, if that's a thing. I don't know how much longer Joshua Palacios is going to be in this organization. So, yeah, under.
Remember when I said the Nerds taking the over on my next one?
Yeah.
This was it?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I know you too well.
I'm here for the vibes.
I should have just done all vibes picks for Donardo.
Yeah.
He would have just gone over on everything. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, you finally got an over. Yeah. Good job. Good job, Tyler.
There we go.
Played me.
All right, Donardo. You're up.
So it's my turn. So this is gonna be my fourth one then, right?
Yeah.
So I have one more that I can do. Okay. All right. Kind of a similar mindset. The way Jim answered the Palacios question. My question to you, over and under, Roansy Contreras being a Pittsburgh Pirate for 185 and a half days. The look on both of your faces right now.
Well, I'm assuming Jim's going first. I have my answer.
So basically, is he on the team for the whole year? I mean, it's 187-day season, right? Or
yeah.
Over. I'm going over. I think Roansy Contreras makes it through the season as a Pittsburgh Pirate. I think he is serviceable enough in the bullpen that he either gets hurt or they keep him around.
then he either gets hurt.
I could see that.
I mean,
like,
it makes sense.
Or he's I mean, they could just make up a phantom injury too to give him some breaks along the way. But I'm gonna go ahead and say over. I think Contreras makes it through the year.
Yeah, so I'm also going over, and my entire thought process on that was that I think that he gets hurt at some point and he goes on the sixth day. Whether he actually gets hurt at some point, he might go on a 15 day, but I think at the end of the day, he ends up on the 60 day or he pitches really effectively. I don't think that they get rid of him.
So you basically feel a lot like at the very worst, they're going to,
I don't think they give up on him this year. Yeah, okay. I just don't see them giving up on him this year. I think there's a possibility, though, that he's gone in the offseason of next year.
Yep.
But I think he gets through this year.
I like those answers.
All right, last round.
Yep.
Last round. All right, time for a fun one. Rowdy Tellez.
You said
sprint
fun.
Speed. Rowdy Tellez sprint speed.
Under. I'm taking the blind under.
1.5 percentile in the major leagues. So just for reference, last year he was in the 1 percentile. Year before he was 2. All right. He was 2 years ago, 1 this year. Before that, though, 18. And hey, my man's lost some weight this offseason. So, over under 1.5 percentile sprint speed, Rowdy Tellez.
You said he was 18 percentile at one point? Yeah, I was thinking over immediately, but now I'm taking the over. And it's really just based on what we saw in spring training where he looked a little slimmer. My only holdback here on Rowdy is that he's going to play first base almost every day, and the wear and tear on those legs is going to be brutal. Plus, Primanti sandwiches. Like, you're asking a lot of this fella. Maybe he just hits enough bombs that he doesn't have to sprint ever. I'm going to take the over here. Just because of the weight loss that I think we've seen.
All right. Tyler's turn.
No, you still have to go.
Yeah. You got to pick yours.
Oh, you didn't. I told you my answer. It's the under. I was blind under. I take an under.
Okay.
All right. It's the under. I didn't care what you said. It's the under. End of question. End of answer. End of story.
All right.
I'm here for all the vibes. Okay. If they're negative or positive. No, I'm just going to take the under because it's Rowdy Tellez. And we have seen him play first base. He is not an athletic fella. And I'm not sure. Like, if you trip and fall over your own feet, that probably counts towards your sprint speed. I can see it happening this year, too. Like, there's going to be a couple times where he's running out the box and he just falls. And that's going to hurt him. So, I'm taking the under.
Do you guys think I could be in the one, like over 1.5 percentile?
Absolutely.
I think so too.
Absolutely.
I wonder what my percentile would be.
I think you'd probably fall in like the maybe 12th percentile.
Yeah, I think it's about right.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
There's some old DHs out there.
They're just athletic to be in.
They don't do a whole lot.
I don't run though, but like, I think I could pull it off.
Yeah.
I'm definitely faster than Rowdy.
You know who Rowdy's way faster than? This surprised me. He is way faster than Yasmani Grandal.
Yeah, he's slow.
Like, significantly faster.
Don't really notice until you play with him, and then it'll be the show either.
Right. The zero speed rating in the show.
It's so slow.
Yeah.
All right. My last one.
Yeah, so also under, because clearly.
All right. Pirates reliever. And here's one that I think is very, very important for the Pirates. Aroldis Chapman over 98.3 average fastball velocity. That's what he ended up with on his second team last year. He threw 99. We've seen where his velocity's been.
You said 98.3?
98.3.
Oh, Tyler, this is your best one of the night. He's got to do, he's got to be better.
If he's 98.3, I don't think he's that effective.
He's got to be better. But to your point, this is why you weren't as high on him with the signing. So to be fair, this plays into that. He's got to be better. Now, I've liked the signing for the player he is. I think it's going to be better. But man, oh man, if you're not asking this question at the right time as well, because he was hitting 93 the last time we saw him. now, again, it's spring. He hit 98, but like he also just hit 98. So I want to say over. He better hit over. So I'm saying over.
98.3. I'm just looking to see what he was at on Sunday.
97 points. Oh, never mind.
So on Sunday, which was the, you know, very much cause for an alarm. Are we going four-seam fastball or sinker? Either or.
Four-seam fastball.
All right. So he was at 94.3. He throws a sinker quite a bit harder than his four-seam fastball, actually. Last year, sinker averaged at 101.1. Four-seam fastball averaged 99. Let's go with... I'm going to go with over, but close. Like I said, Max here in the comments says the exact same thing. Over, but close. I think he's going to be over, but it's going to be like high 90. I think it's a high 98 with that four seamer. But as long as that sinker still, as long as that sinker is still triple digits, then I think we're okay.
All right. So we both take the over.
Yeah, I'm going to go over. That's my first Tyler over.
And we both took it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So I'm going to delete that. And I'm going to go with my last one here, which I think is going to be a very fun one. So we've talked about Jack. We've talked about O'Neill, but another capacity. But you guys are high on him. I mean, how many home runs do you think he's going to get hit? Plenty, right? Do you believe in Ke'Bryan Hayes, the power? Do you guys believe in like the guys coming up? Last year, the Pirates hit 159 home runs. They were 28th in majors. My over and under to you is essentially, can they hit 40 more? Put them at 199 and a half home runs as a team. Which also, if you look at it, would place him 14th last year in Major League Baseball. So, total home runs by the Pirates, 199 and a half. A 40 home run improvement.
Ooh.
Do a math in my head.
I'm trying to go back to even see when the last time they did that was
probably never.
I mean, they had a home run leader, right? In 2013. Gosh, yeah, they struggled to hit more than 150 like for a while now. That's kind of been like their peak.
Let's do this. I can tease. Ryan has a whole article about the power in the last decade by the Pirates in our spring preview that's coming out tomorrow that you can download for free.
All right. So you're saying 199. They haven't come close to that number in a long, long time. I'm going under. I'm going under. Like they play in a park where it's just tough to hit home runs if you're right-handed. I think the power is going to be up this year, but 199 and a half. Yeah. I'm going to go under. Yeah. Under.
Bad vibes, Jim.
Sorry. So that's just a lot of homers. They've never done that. Like they've never done that.
I do think that's a good number because you're replacing Alika Williams essentially with O'Neill Cruz. Everybody hopes he hits 25 home runs probably. Henry Davis, you hope hits a lot better this year. And I think everybody hopes he's a 20 home run guy. That puts you at 40. Does Rowdy Tellez kind of take you over that number? Because first base, really, you didn't get much out of last year. Problem there, like Ke'Bryan Hayes, I don't know. Maybe 5 more home runs out of him is like really hoping for something.
So just the Pirates had 11 home runs from their shortstops last year.
Okay. So maybe you get 15 more out of them.
They had 5 from their catchers.
I think you look at second base, it's a little more complicated because Triolo's not going to hit the ball out of the park.
Potentially Piguero.
Well, he's not there.
Right. No, I'm adding the
fact. I know it's just I got to go under as well because I don't know that they added 40 home runs because I think the big difference would be if Ke'Bryan Hayes was at like 7 last year and he hit 7 in the last month and you're like, oh, there's something there. He ended up with a good amount. I think I got to take the under because of it, but I do think they get to maybe 175, 180, maybe even up to 190. I think it's going to be more home runs than we've seen in a while. I just don't know if they're at 200 yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Like I'm going through here, and I mean, the Pirates had over 30 home runs in center. Even in right field, they had 18. At first base last year, they had 21. So, like, yeah, where are we adding 40? Or, right, is that what we're trying to find is 40?
40. Mm-hmm.
I mean, shortstop is going to be your bulk. Like that's where you're probably making the most headway there, and catcher. So, but do you increase by 40? I don't know.
That's a lot of guys that have to hit a lot of home runs.
It is, but now we're adding a lot of players.
There you go. Cruz 50 homer season. There you go. Which is possible. Like it could happen.
I mean, that's the potential is there just lineup in general, because there are guys on the bench that could put together a 10 home run season and just get you there. But 200 is a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's really not a lot. It's middle of the pack.
It's a lot
for the Pirates. It's a lot.
It would be above average. Like it would be an above average offense,
just barely
from a power standpoint, which you can look at this lineup and say this lineup has above average offense, like power. I that's a good number. Like they could 100% hit that. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go under for now.
I wouldn't be shocked if they got there.
I wouldn't either.
I think all that's fair because that's a huge jump, but it puts things in perspective because like you said, like they are getting, especially shortstop and catcher. Like that could be two of your biggest power bats that you're getting this year in Cruz and Henry Davis potentially, which makes a big swing. So cool. All right. So under. So that finishes our over and unders. Fun stuff, guys.
Ready for the climax?
I apologize that you're all going to lose. Yeah, I'm ready.
Climax? Oh, let's, yeah, we got to do that.
Go.
I already climaxed.
And we all took the under.
All right, who wants to start off with this? So we're just going to give our season prediction, right?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I say just maybe generally talk about the NL Central and then give your Pirates wins total.
All right. I think just looking on paper, NL Central, I think the St. Louis Cardinals are getting way more love than they should. That lineup is terrible. Like it's not good at all. The pitching they got better than they did last year. But I'm just not seeing how this Cardinals team got, you know, 20 games better than last season. Like I'm not seeing it. Like Fangraphs has the Cardinals projected to win the division. I think Baseball Prospectus has the Cardinals projected to win the division. So now with that being said, projected to win the division with 83 wins, right? I think this division is ripe for the taking. All five teams could win it. But like, I don't think the Cardinals have like substantial odds to win this division, like a lot of projection systems are saying. I think on paper, the Cubs are probably the safest team to win the division. Like from a variance standpoint, I think the Cubs are most likely to like not suck, and they're most likely to like be over 500, right? I think the Brewers are going to take a pretty significant step back. No Woodruff, no Burns. You're relying kind of on Peralta, and you know, you hope that Churio's there. So like I think they'll be an interesting team to watch, but I think they're taking a step back. I think the Reds have the most upside in this division. Like if anybody could go out there and just win 90 games, it's the Reds. I think the Reds are also a very high variance team. They're young. They could go through some struggles. But like if that Reds pitching staff, if they stay healthy and they click, there's enough bats to really, I think, blow up. So I think the Reds have like the highest chance to win 90 out of anybody here. With that being said, I think the Pirates have a pretty high floor. Like, I don't think this team can win less than 75 games.
Well, more than 15 and a half starts by Falter, they can.
Yeah. So I think the Pirates have a pretty high floor. I don't think the Pirates ceiling is significantly all that high. Like, I think the Reds have the higher ceiling, but the Pirates have the higher floor than the Reds. So, are we ready for my record prediction? Pirates go 85-77 and win the NL Central. Let's go, baby.
How do you have the worst vibes on the over and under? 85 wins.
85-77. They win the NL Central. Paul Skeens comes up before June 7th and a half. He takes over the second half. Him and Mitch Keller lead this team. They win the division. They clinch it with three games left in the season. Let's
I can't.
This riding high, gym, positive vibes, 85-77.
This change in gym on New Year's is just, I can't take it. I can't take
exhausting.
It. This is all a facade.
I'm ready to win again. I'm ready to win again. And they're going to do
it. So am I, but I'm realistic. Okay.
Go ahead, Tyler.
This division sucks.
There's like Tyler.
Man, there's not much talent here. It's ripe for the picking. I think that the Craig Council acquisition, signing, whatever you want to call it, stealing of the Brewers, I think that does enough for the Cubs to get them there. So I think the Cubs do take the division. I don't think the Pirates come in last place, because I do agree with Jim there with the Cardinals. Just, they're not good. The roster's terrible. Their pitching staff is fine, but I don't think they're any good. We could run into some Cardinal devil magic there, but I think the Brewers take a step back, and I think that the Reds are the second best team in this division. As Jim said, they do have the potential to probably win 90 to 95 games, honestly. If Ellie De La Cruz takes off and becomes what he probably could be, Pirates are in trouble. I think the Pirates win 74 games this year. I just don't see it with them. I don't see it with the pitching. There's too much that has to go right. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I don't want to be this way. I don't. But there's just so much here that has to go right with this team for them to be good. Henry Davis has to be good. O'Neill Cruz has to be good. Mitch Keller has to take a step forward. Jared Jones has to be good. Marco Gonzalez, Martin Perez, Jack Sawinski, Cabrian Hayes. Go down the list. Everybody has to be good. I can't see it. Everything has to happen. I don't want them to be bad. I want them to be good, damn it. I don't want to talk about a bad team after games.
Then why'd you give us that falter over under?
I think
sounds like over. You do.
I just see 74 wins with them. But the Jim mentioned the variance of the Reds. I think the Pirates have a very high variance as well. I think they could be a really good team. There's just way too much to me that has to go right. Now, granted, if I watch the Reds and we're a Reds podcast, I might be thinking the same thing. If the Pirates were the Reds right now, I'd probably be sitting here saying, yeah, well, if Ellie De La Cruz turns into a stud and if this, like everybody has the what ifs, but it's built in my brain. I just can't get beyond that 74, 75 win team, which I think is a good, if they win 75 games this year, I won't be excited for next year, but I will definitely be ready to go because I think that's the year that they really got to go. And I think right. That maybe if they win 75 games and some things happen, maybe we're there next year.
So I'll start off by saying this. I think Jim's too high. I think Tyler's too low. But both can absolutely be outcomes that I'm not shocked by. And again, that's what we've been saying. Like, that's our frustration with this offseason is like to add some more certainty, right? But what I'll say is, and we talked about this on Starbucks, like if the one thing to take away from the spring, I feel more comfortable with the floor being risen. You know, I don't think the variance of them being like a 60 in the 60s is there. I mean, of course, like 74 could happen, right? But I don't believe in this team being a low 70 floor. Now, everything you guys said about the NL Central, I agree with. I think we talked about, so I'm not going to go expand upon that. I agree with everything you guys have said. When it comes to the Pirates, and I put this tweet out last night, and like, here's kind of my thought process. We've talked about the bullpen. The bullpen has definitely gotten stronger. I think it's a real strength of this team, right? The bullpen has gotten better. When you look at the offense, last year the Pirates had five guys that had over 400 plate appearances. It was Reynolds, Sawinski, Hayes, Kutch, and Joe. All five of those guys were above average hitters. All you need is Cruz, Davis, Triolo, Rowdy. Like, can they be above average hitters? Like, that's like, you look at this offense, that's really what you have to ask yourself. Like, can those four guys who are probably going to get 400 and above also be above average? Because then that makes this team's offense so much better than last year also, right? Because when you look at the guys in as far as plate appearance rankings last year, 6 through 12, here's your guys. Santana, Bay, Palacios, Davis, Castro, Marcano, and Peguero. Those are the next bulk of plate appearances. 97, 86, 83, 76, 84, 88, 74 wage runs created plus. You just have to be better than those guys. Can Cruz, Henry Davis, right? Who else is A? Triolo. Telez is a question mark. Be better than those guys to get the rest of the bulk. I think you can easily answer and say yes. So the lineup is also better. The rotation is definitely sus. But last year kind of was too. I'm stamping at 79 wins. And that's why I was laughing when you said 74. I'm like, man, I'm right in the middle of both of you. Like, this is like the perfect trio of answers because I'm right in the middle of both of you, which of course you both would say, of course, because you
can both sides Zanardo over here.
Yeah. Right. But that's how I am. Like, I do feel this offense is definitely better than last year. I think the bullpen's better. The rotation is definitely what limits them. But they do have reinforcements coming. Like, they really, and that's also why I feel Skeen is up here before, because these early months matter so damn much.
Yeah. That's why I'm at 74 is because we're talking about a team that won 76 games, but they won 20-8 in April.
Yeah. And that's why I feel like they like when people say, well, look at this team, how can it be better than the record last year? Well, I think they overperformed, and I think it's very clear they kind of overperformed. So, like, the record doesn't speak to the talent of last year.
Like, if they go 500, then they're a 65-win team.
Bingo. And 500 was better than what they were all year.
Yeah.
But they didn't go 500. They went 20-8.
They didn't, but...
And I get it. I get that argument. But I don't think the record really matched the talent. And I think if they go 78-79, that kind of matches the talent this year.
Yeah. I don't see how they got better, honestly. I don't see how they got better.
My question, though, Jim, is are you going to the World Series or not?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I'll be there.
I want to make sure.
Are you buying my ticket?
You know what? Maybe NS9 can front the trip. Who knows? Yeah. We'll do a live show from the World Series. How about that? Live pregame show. It'll be like us right next to the MLB network people.
Yeah. That's how it should go.
It'll be the MLB people next to us.
Yeah. Yeah. True. They'll be on there and they'll be like, we're next to the North Shore 9 guys.
Right. Yeah. True. Well, good stuff. Oh, this is a good show.
No, this was fun. This was fun.
Can't wait to prove you all wrong.
I hope you're wrong because, you know, if you're right, then it's a bad season.
I hope I'm wrong too.
And I hope I'm right.
Actually, all I did was give the over-unders there. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I hope I'm right. It would be way more fun if I'm right.
It depends. Like Bailey Falter, you know what? It depends on everything. Bailey Falter could be a stud. You never know.
Yeah, he won't. I know.
Never know.
All right. This is a good show. Appreciate everybody in the comments too. You guys were awesome tonight. Good stuff. Good stuff all night long.
Yeah. And so I guess just some house cleaning before we do go. Cause again, like tomorrow is opening day. We are within how many hours now? I mean, 15, something like that. But anyways, like tomorrow is opening day. First pitch. We have a contest going right now for our memberships. So if you don't know, right, we have our YouTube memberships going on. Start at 99 cents, all up to just $4.99. A lot of different perks in there. Anyone who signs up for any level of memberships is eligible in the giveaway. So we're giving away 4 Permane gift cards right here.
Hold on. You didn't say that right. Any MVPs before opening day are eligible for the cards.
Oh, my bad. So any MVPs. Yeah. MVP level, you're eligible for the giveaway. We're giving away 4 $25 gift cards for Permane's. So 4 people will win those. And then again, the reason we're doing that, tomorrow starts our actual NS9 postgame show sponsored by, powered by Permane's, where if the Pirates win, you win. So just by showing up and watching our postgame shows here, and we're going to have our hashtag, it'll be on the screen what to put in here. You pop it in there. We'll have a giveaway every game, give away two free sandwiches to a lucky winner. So cool stuff. I'm excited for the season. Even if they win 74 games, I'm excited for the season.
If they win 74 games, it means we're giving away 158 free sandwiches.
They win 85. Well,
it's 190. 190 free sandwiches.
What if they win 90?
Oh, wait. My math was wrong there. 170. 170 sandwiches if they win 85. But if they win 85, then they go to the postseason and we give away postseason sandwiches too.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
Love me some from Andy's.
No, so I said, appreciate you guys. I said, if you want to support us more than you already do, if you're listening to the podcast on audio, go to our YouTube page, hit join. A few different membership tiers there for you. If you're here, if you hit join, gives you some options there. So we appreciate all of our members, all of our watchers. Everything is still 100% free. You don't have to give anything. You don't have to have a membership. But if you do, you get some cool perks. So, but yeah, appreciate you guys.
Yep. Shout out to everyone who's already joined. Appreciate y'all. You'll be on the next screen as well. All right, guys, we out of here.
We're out. Like and subscribe. 46% of the people who are watching this aren't subscribed. Hit that subscribe button. Get notified when we go live. That way you don't miss out on any sandwiches.
Love me sandwiches. Big sandwich guy. All right. Let's get out of here, guys. Appreciate everyone for watching. We'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.